Good morning. All right. Good to see everybody. Good to be seen, huh? Dr. Josh actually is not here. He's getting a little rest, so he asked me to minister today. I'm happy to do it, support him. Some of you may not know my name. I'm Bishop S. Smith, Dr. Josh's dad and father. He's doing a good job, y'all. He's doing a good job. Wonderful. Well, God has another good word. He'll continue his teaching next week, but God has a word for us today. Is that okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity to come to you, for your God. That's why we're here. And I thank you, Father, for giving me the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to speak a word in season to them that are weary, that my speech and my teaching and preaching is not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but with demonstration and manifestation of the Spirit and of power. Therefore, Lord, I commit to give you alone all the praise and the glory and the honor for what will take place this day. And in the mighty name of Jesus and all of God's wonderful people said,
amen.
Amen. If you would open your Bible to Acts chapter 16, and we're going to talk about a very important topic called praise cure. Say praise cure. I'm going to give you a little introduction about this particular passage. This is when in the early part of the church in the book of Acts, and Jesus had already left, and told his disciples to wait until you're endued with power from on high. And they went to the upper room, and they began to do that. Wait, pray, and praise God. And then after that, people got filled on the day of Pentecost, coming from all parts of the world, almost like an Olympic event, a celebration, all parts of the world. And then people got filled with the Holy Spirit and started speaking in tongues. As a result of that, now the disciples were free to move out and preach the gospel, not just preach, but also do signs and wonders and healing. And there's one young lady who was like a selling kind of evil things and maybe possibly involved in witchcraft or maybe doing reading your palm, stuff like that. By the way, that's not godly, by the way. Read the Bible is what you need to be doing. So she got free. She was healed, free. And she started telling people around her that these are the men from God, sent from God. And then she stopped doing her craft. She stopped being trafficked, if you would. Yeah, you're going to get this today. And so what happened was that she began to keep preaching, and then the people that were trafficking her or selling her or having her work through these evil things to get people to think they're talking to God. They're not talking to God. And so they lost their income. And they were upset. And so they said, these guys are doing this. Because of her, we're losing our income. They put him in prison. And that's where this passage began. So these men have been followers of Jesus. They're now full of the power of God. And they walk with Jesus. And now they're committed. Now they're in prison. You would think that some can be discouraged. All I've done, I gave my life to you, Jesus, and I'm in prison. This is not fair. Right? They could have said that. They did something else. Let's look at it. In Acts chapter 16, verse 26, but at midnight, which is the darkest hour, think about this. Sometimes we can experience in our life kind of a midnight experience, one of the difficult, most dark times of your life. What would you do? We're going to learn what should be done here in this passage. And as I teach further, it's about praising God, even in the midst of trouble. In fact, if any time we need to praise God to be done, we're in trouble. The challenge is we won't be able to do it if we don't have a pattern and a habit of doing it before we're in trouble. Okay? And that's what we're going to talk about. And I can tell you, I've been a Christian for a long time, well over 40, almost 50 years. And I praise God like I just did a few minutes ago with praise and worship, right? Every now and then I'll thank God for different things. But I really wasn't as intentional as I needed to be on a more daily basis and throughout the day. You know, the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. He inhabits the praises. He does not just show up. He's there. He's making a home there. Something about praise. Now, he's in you. He's in us, but he inhabits your praise. He inhabits your praise. So can you imagine you need God to show up, but you're not much of a praiser? I mean, you appreciate God, you love him, but are you actively praising him on some regularity, even beyond the services and beyond the Bible studies and beyond just making it a habit? Say, make a habit. Because God inhabits. And sometimes you wonder, well, God, what's going on? You know, you're not allowing him to inhabit your praises. Just saying. This is not an indictment. I had to correct myself as a bishop to put more consistency. And since then, wonderful things been happening in my life and ministry. Things I've been praying for, God's been doing. And sometimes, even the challenges I may face at times, God is, and we're going to show you how when you praise God, things happen much faster. So there's benefits. Say benefit. And so not just getting things from God, it's really about God getting his will done in your life. You see, we can pray about certain things, right? And I'm sure you all pray. But when you start praising God, there's things you can't even think about praying it. Because God always wants to go far beyond, say far beyond, what we can ask or think. Think about that. I want to do something in your life you can't even think about asking me. That's the kind of God we serve. But what creates that environment? Praise. Thankfulness. Appreciation from the heart. Again, I'm not suggesting, because some of you may be feeling a little, you know, feel a certain way. I get it. I felt a certain way too as a bishop. I said, God, I'm all in now. Please follow me. So Acts chapter 16, verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns or praises to God, and the prisoners were listening to them or heard them. Now, these are men that are anointed by God. God's using them at the beginning of the church age as we know it today. And guess what? They were in prison. And they know that prison can kill them. They can die in prison or they get murdered. Okay, executed. And they could have been sad. They could have been mad. They could have been complaining. How come God teaches let this happen? He's gone. Oh, we're by ourselves and we're in prison now. We can't even preach. They didn't do that. We understand the power of praise. In your darkest hour, you still praise him. Most difficult time, you are praising. And that's why I'm taking time to teach the biblical pattern. It's a pattern. The Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. I'm going to give you two. That's part of the pattern. But there's many more in the Bible you can study on your own. Because I want to encourage us all, and even myself even more, be more of a praiser. Say more of a praiser. More of a praiser. When you acknowledge, you know, good example. We have a banquet, and somebody done a wonderful job and achievement or what have you. We all clap. Yay! Yay! That's praising that person. Nothing wrong. You're acknowledging that. Are we doing that to God with our words? With our words? Are we praising God with that kind of energy of the person that gets that Emmy, Oscar, or that promotion, their retirement of their party, and they've done a lot of wonderful things? Are we, Jesus, I bless you. Except only in the praise service. Maybe sometimes we don't quite understand that, so we just kind of, something about praise. It's an opportunity. Say opportunity. Yes. So at midnight, darkest hour, Paul and Silas were praying and singing praises, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, say suddenly. There was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately, say immediately. Immediately. How long did it take? Immediately. That's the kind of God we serve, y'all. Well, I don't know, Bishop. My experience is that, you know, I've been praying about stuff and taking a long time. I don't understand. And so I understand, but reality is, are you much of a praiser? Not praise God for the trouble. Praise God for what God have done in your life in the years gone by, and praising God for what the Bible says, who he is. He's wonderful. He's great. He's strong. He's mighty. He's faithful. So you can praise God. Let's say you're a relatively new believer in the body of Christ. You're following him. You don't know a whole lot about, you're learning as you grow, right? So you haven't experienced a lot of faithfulness of God that you're aware of, although the fact you got saved, that was the faithfulness of God. But you may not fully understand it. But you can begin, but you also begin to thank God now. Begin to thank God now. Something about gratefulness is, that's part of the praise. Like a song we would sing oftentimes, grateful, Lord, I'm grateful. You can sing it without no melody. Just, and if maybe you can't, you not have a voice for a singer, then make a joyful noise. Lord, I'm grateful. And mean it from your heart. He's not going to trip behind it. He knows your heart. See, God's not going to grade you on the voice. The Bible says make a joyful what? Noise. Because he understands. Some folk got noise. But I'll take it because you're praising me. Now think about God. Think about this. So here you have, like in school, like your kids, you know, you're doing a little coloring book, and then you realize, Mom, look, and Dad, look what I did. And your first mind says, what is that? They're all happy. He says, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. God realizes your boy's not quite there yet, but it's wonderful to me. It's wonderful. You said the right words, and I'm good. I'm great. I'm faithful. You're going to get this. See, sometimes we want to sing like the praise team. You can do it in your car and while you're washing dishes and cooking, cutting the grass. Lord, I just want to thank you. Take a pause and say thank you. Not just of what the Bible says, which is important, of what who he is, but thank him for what he's done in your life before you got saved. When I was out there crazy, could have got killed many times messing around out there in the streets. Literally. I'm at a party down the street from my house with my mom, and I go to a party down the street, and the Crips showed up, and I'm dancing with this girl, and I just met her. And the little Crip guy, he's shorter than me, and I was short, right? But he had some big guys, big tall guys with him, though. He said, I want to dance with her. I stopped dancing, make her dance with me. I just met them. I don't know her. Make her dance with me. And I'm thinking, I'm looking at his friends, I said, you know what? I just tipped on out. And I ran home, and I stayed in my house. And then guess what? The door hadn't even closed yet, and shooting started. And so when I got saved and all the things like that I was exposed to, I said, thank you, Lord God. I'm grateful, Lord God. You have something to praise God for now. You got a history. Maybe it wasn't gang stuff. Maybe it was getting that college degree, getting into school, getting favor. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Suddenly, say suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately, say immediately, all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. Now, the wording is important. Every word in the Bible has significance. Suddenly. There are things that, and I, same here with Bishop Ed, I've been trusting God, believing God for it to happen a little faster than what's happening. Months, maybe longer, years. But God does stuff suddenly. But when you study it here, that's what I'm talking about, this praise cure, in the context when God does stuff suddenly, it's behind praise. And we don't want to praise God like we should. Maybe you didn't know, now I'm teaching you. By the way, I teach a new Bible study, and I've been teaching on this topic for the last 2 months. just unpacking this, because it's, I realize it's so important. It impacted me to be a better and more consistent praiser. And I want to encourage other people, because the Bible is full of it. Here's King David. He defeated Goliath, became leader and king, and in process he did some sin, took another man who he trusted, entrusted him, took his wife and put him out there to get killed. Blood on his hands. But he became a praiser, "Lord, create in me a clean heart." And he began to write, inspired by the Holy Spirit, songs that we can sing and words we can repeat. God, you're merciful. God, you're good. You're a good father. These songs we sing are based on scripture. And so we can regurgitate that back to God in a praise and a thankfulness. Let me just help you also. What praise does is puts you in a different mindset. It's positive, happy, expectation of the good things, not focus on what didn't happen. See, sometimes we're focusing on waiting on the mailman here yet, waiting on the promotion, and not thinking about how good God is. You're not talking that. You're not. It's up top of mind. But when you start doing it like this, you're being more relaxed. And because one thing, God starts showing up more in your life, because he inhabits the praises of his people. He loves it. And it's not like he's like on an ego trip. Oh, God, he just wants to be talked about how good he is and all. No, it ain't about that. He know who he is. You know what it's about? It's about you and what he wants to do in the earth through people like us. We're going to see an example like this right now. And suddenly, say suddenly. There was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors, say all the doors, were open. You want some doors to be open right now? Okay, I'm going to side over here. You want some doors to be open right now? I'm going to check up, give you guys an opportunity. You want any doors to open up right now? He said, he didn't say three of them. He didn't say four of them. He said all the doors. And you know they had a bunch of jails there with doors, right? All, say all.
All.
What I like about God, another aspect about your praise, what God understands is not all about us. He wants to be a blessing to us, but it's about the people around us. Around us. There are people around us. Now, they were both and all of them, Paul and Silas in prison, other prisoners were in prison. But guess what? They got blessed and got free. I call it the slop over blessing. Yeah, the slop over blessing. You know how you're out there in a little pool and you get it's hot, but you're not in there yet. And then you got to watch the kids, but you want to like to get in there, but you got to watch the kids around the pool and they splash water on there. Oh, thank you. That's a slop over blessing. Yeah. There are people, no indication those people that were in prison were Christians. No indication that they were serving God. They were there probably for murdering and stealing and stuff and breaking the law and probably had no hope. And yet, they got free too. There are people in your life, in my life, that won't get free until we praise God and allow God to do something in our life, because they're close to us, like co-workers and family and neighbor next door. Now they're knocking on your door. Can I go to church with you next Sunday? Say slop over blessing. Yeah. You see the biblical evidence. I mean, if it was just only for them, he could have just, Paul and Silas got free. Jailbreak, okay? No, he went far beyond that. Why? He's such a good God, he cares about the world. That's what Jesus says. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He wants the whole world. He's not thinking just city, just country. He wants the world to get his blessing. So that's the slop of a blessing. People you may not even know. They may not even known these people. I'm assuming they were men. Could be women over there too in prison. People that don't know you. That's how the Spirit of God works. Because he inhabits the praises of his people, and you're one of his people, and wherever you go praising him, like in the bank, long line, rather than complain, my lunchtime is being eaten up now. I go back, I haven't had my food yet. You get a little attitude sometimes, but be careful. Anyway, rather than have an attitude, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I bless you. Just maybe sing a little bit, not too loud, but loud enough. You just want to praise God. Then there's a long line and the teller and that lady hear you singing over there at the desk. She's not busy right now. She said, come over here. I've got to take care of you. You get it done fast. And then she realized, I asked you this question about you singing that song. And when you start singing, there was a lump on, and it just went off. I started checking. It's gone. Slop of a blessing. And how can you explain that but God? And in the context of what we're teaching, as you meditate on it, you'll be expecting God when he blesses you in special ways. Who else did he bless around here? Because that's what he does. That's what he does. He uses us to be a blessing. We're blessed to be a what? Blessing. And part of that is through our exercise and our love expression of praise. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's powerful. So we men especially need to get out of our being cool. You know, praise God. Yeah. You don't do that for the Lakers? Or whatever your special team is, come on. And I'm not trying to put you down. I'm letting you know I want to set you free. Because, you know, typically it's the women are more animated. And we just kind of, but David wasn't like that in the Bible. He started praising God. His wife got a little embarrassed. You know, your clothes falling off you, boy. But, you know, what you are? You the king. Sit down, sister. You don't know what you're talking about. Sit yourself down right now. I'm going to praise God. Till the rocks cry out. It's that attitude, because if we're just in the dumps and we will catch a depression or a sad face, like sad sack, right? Sad face just by being around, like dirt just getting on your shoes. You're not trying to get it. You just come home and a little grumpy, growling. It's that work environment. It's the situation in the world. Got the news on and all that, and it's piling up. You got to praise through all that. Praise through all that. It's the grateful heart that moves God. It's the grateful heart. Well, I got this house and, you know, the other one over there, and there's all this trouble and tennis acting crazy and all that. I don't understand. Be glad God gave you an extra house. Amen. Praise him for that. So start there. If we're not careful, we just get into it because it has to be fixed, right, and deal with the situation. But if we're complaining about it and don't have enough expression on our lips, even the people that are struggling paying you the rent, it's about being grateful. So suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, say immediately, all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loose. They walked out too. And in the story, they were free. And those prisoners and jailer, they got saved. Praise keeps our heart and mind in a place of peace. And may I add, strong expectation. Once you start experiencing the results of praising God, oh God, it's on now. I'm going to praise you. I'm grateful. And not, you know, it's not like a do this and then do it right now. It's about being grateful. And when things start opening up, you say, you acknowledge, that was you, God. That had to be God. Only you can do this, God. And give him some more praise. Come on. Give him some more praise. It's a wonderful life to live in an environment with God when he does stuff just in your life that you didn't anticipate. And you know it was good. You know God had to do that. Something you needed or something that you didn't need. It's like, thank you, Lord. I wasn't expecting that, but I'm so happy. Thank you. I know that was you, Lord God. But without a habit, because you don't want to only praise God when you get something. You want to thank him for what he's done for you and who he is, just who, because of who he is. What's so powerful about praising God for who he is that some of those things he is, some of those things you need right now. God, you are such a provider. And guess what? You need some provision right now. So you mentioned all those things he is, and God says, I'm going to come on, take care of that. I'm going to take care of that. Because God, again, the praise is not just for us, it's for those around us so they can see the goodness of God. Think about those prisoners. They realized God was behind that. And they realized, wait a minute, because they sang in praise. The prisoners heard them. They heard them. They weren't whispering their praise. They were shouting their praise enough so they can hear down the hall. That's what God's looking for. Be a praiser. Say, be a praiser. Look what God says about wisdom. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all of her paths are peace. When you start praising God, you develop a whole peace about you, more peace in your life. So when things don't work out, they're delayed, there's an issue, there's a problem, you just don't let it bother you. You say, Lord, you got me. You got this. You got this, God. You know, and so it works out. We were in, after Katrina, my wife and I were visiting some Zoe alumni in Texas. And there was another storm coming about a week or so later. And all that Katrina was so bad, people, we don't know how bad the next one's going to be. Make a long story short, we had to get to the airport, and there was thousands of people on the road getting out of Houston. Thousands. And then the freeway was packed. It was a hot day, and it was packed, and nobody was can go any further. We happened to get on, it was God, on a side road. A little small side road, and we're driving by, and they're stopping. People are on top of their cars, mad, looking around. The miles and miles of cars not going nowhere. Trying to get out of town, but it just, and we're like, and so they're a little concerned. We got to the airport, and it was like a horror movie. It was so many people trying to get on the plane. They were canceling flights. They get out of Dodge too. And my wife made a comment, said, babe, what are we going to do? I said, God got us. God got us, babe. God always gets us out of trouble. See? And so it's that kind of thinking, because you won't even get into praise if you don't think God gets you out of trouble. You have no pattern. And if you don't have a pattern of getting God getting you out of trouble, then you got to start praising God more so he can get you out of trouble. Now you got a pattern. Then you can say, God, I got a pattern with you. You got a history with me, God. Talk to him like somebody, like, Uncle, you always come through for me. Can I borrow $500? Are you following me? It's practical for life. That business, that promotion, get admitted to college. Every aspect of life, the healing of something that's in your body. People coming against you. Don't want you in that department. Don't like you for whatever reason. But God can come through for you. Keep praising him. Say, keep praising him. So this peace, you make better decisions. Because now God's inhabiting your praises and you hear God in your heart. Sometimes God's talking to all of us, but sometimes we're just not hearing because we got all this noise of life. Get more praise. Get more peace. And you say, God, I got this. With you and I, we can do this together. Amen? Look at Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. You trusted him because you praise him, and when you praise him, you talk about to God all these great things he is, all these great things he has done. Out of your mouth, you sing it, you speak it. So it's on your mind. When you see God as who he really is, you have no time to be depressed. Okay, let me help you. Many things in life are resolved by money. Even to get the best doctors, best operations, best hospitals. Are you following me? And yet we put people who are very wealthy up high. If you had a wealthy uncle or aunt, I'm a best niece, our best you know, nephew. She loves us. You just make a phone call. This possible. You got to see God bigger than that. But you know how you would act if you had connection like that, wouldn't you? Yeah. Well, you got a connection with God in your heart and express it with your mouth. He shows up. And again, it's beyond us. It's about what God wants to do around us. All those people were exposed to God in that prison. All right, let's go on. Another powerful example of praise. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, about to finish up here. This is a classic story about King Jehoshaphat, and enemies were surrounding him and the nation of God's people. And they knew they were outnumbered and outgunned. But he didn't know what to do. The king didn't know what to do. And so he shared and called a fast, which is important. He began to pray, get some wisdom from God. And we start from here. Verse 12. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. You could stop there, but he didn't stop there. I don't know what to do, God. I pushed all the buttons. But he didn't stop there. But my eyes are upon who? You. See, when you praise God, your eyes are up on him, not looking at the situation, staring at that. You already know no money in that account. God, why are you staring at it? Just saying. Isn't that real? The more we stare at what the lack is, that's what you think. As opposed to, I need this. I need God. I need you. Okay? My eyes, I love it. My eyes are on you. God. Sometimes our eyes do go through the situation. I get it. Circumstances. But be aware of it. I'm going to put them back on God. So, yeah. I mean, sometimes I go there too. But I go back to God. I don't beat myself up. I just focus back on who? God. Verse 13. Now all Judah with their little ones, the babies too, come on, their wives and their children stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel. And then you had the son of Zechariah and the son of Benaiah and the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah as a Levite, and the sons of Asaph. And in the midst of the assembly, the body of Christ came together for a prayer meeting and said, listen, all you of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, king. And the king up there shaking his knees, right? But he wants help because he wants nobody to die. But the word from the prophet in the congregation, speaking to the priest, to the king too. Listen, all you of Judah and you, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord to you, all of us. Do not be afraid. Say, do not be afraid. Now, you know they probably were afraid. That's why they came together. But we can decide to put it away by putting our hope and eyes on God and having a habit of praising God and having a habit of God come through to fill in those life gaps in our life and needs in our life. Then you know you did it once before, you're going to do it again. That's the kind of God you are. You talk to him like that. You're not pushing God around. You're not boasting. You're saying, God, you come through. I got a history with you, Lord God. Thank you. There's a way out of no way. That's what you do. I got a pattern. I share my testimony all the time with people. You come through, and that's what you need. You need a testimony where you came through when you didn't know what to do. If you're the kind of person got to know how to have the answer by yourself, that is a problem. That is a big problem. And men tend to have that kind of burden on their lives. I got to have all the answers by myself. I figured it out myself. No, you need to have less God just do it. Called the slop of a blessing. Yeah. Otherwise, we're not careful, we get a maybe unknowingly attitude, I did this, I did that, and I did that. Yeah, God worked through you, but what about you had nothing to do with it but God? A neighbor down the street says, you know what? You don't know, but I own these two houses over here. And I understand you go to that Zoe church, that Zoe Center church. And I heard that, you need a place to stay and your mom moved another state and you're going to be by yourself. I got this house over here and the renters are moving out. I'm going to let you stay there. You don't even know her. You just seen her a few times. But I've heard good things about you. And it came on my heart. I wonder who put it on her heart. You're going to get this today. You wouldn't have thought about praying to God for that, to that person in the neighborhood close to your school or your job. Only God does that when you trust him. Yeah. Verse 15, he said, listen to all you, Judah. I'll go back down to verse 16. Okay. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Verse 15. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, the great strain, challenge in your life. For the battle is not yours, but who? But who? There's battles you're not supposed to fight. That's why some folk are weary. It's hard. You're fighting too many battles. Yeah, put on the whole armor of God, all that. But even with the armor on, God comes to have a seat. I got this. And he does that in particular in the context of the scriptures, doing praise. You're going to get this when you're praising. Not just when you need something, it's the habit of praise. It's the habit of praise. Okay, verse 16. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up to Asin at Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jero. Then he says this in verse 17. You will not need to fight this battle. I love it. Plus, it's a lot of work, too. Amen. You will not have to fight this battle. Position yourself. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you. He's with you. With the army all around us, he's with you. Believe that he's with you. When the suit is still, they're still planning to sue and take everything from you. Believe God's with you. Because they're looking at the army. But the word from God says, be not afraid, God's with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid or be dismayed tomorrow. Go out against them. We're not fighters, we're singers. We're the praise team, man. Where was the police at? No. Go not out against them, for the Lord is what? With you. And Jehoshaphat bowed in his head and said, and his face to the ground. He's praising God too, which is a good thing. The leader, Jehoshaphat, the king. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Verse 19. Then the Levites and the children of Kohathites and the children of Kohathites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices. How loud? Loud. And how high? High. And you're going to whisper to God doing praise and worship? He's been good to you? Now, again, it's not an indictment, but just, it's a mid-course correction in our lives. Let's just be more generous and happy about thanking God. And believe me, go back a few years, and you got a lot of stuff to thank God for. We got a whole list of stuff. Come on. We got a list. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord, the praise team, and who should praise, but they can't fight. They sing. Who should praise the beauty of holiness. Come on. As they went out before the army, were saying, praise the Lord. His mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord. His mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord. His mercy endureth forever. Now, we normally do, obviously, doing praise and worship in a nice band and back up and all that, right? We can do it while you're doing your exercise walk. Praise the Lord. His mercy endureth forever. And these were just people who had no military background. If you would, they didn't have the PhD and the master's. They didn't have 30 years or 20 years of experience. They just had big old God. Yeah. Verse 22. And when they began, I'm not knocking the other stuff. I'm saying that even with that stuff, you got to go look, see a big old God bigger than that. Now, when you began, and they began to sing, 22, and to praise, and the Lord sent ambushments against them, and people of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who had came against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, other different tribes and different armies, and they destroyed themselves, utterly killed and destroyed them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped destroy one another. I mean, I've seen it in the world myself as a business manager and so forth, and folk who are coming against me and mess with me. And guess what? Now they fight among themselves. They both lose their job. I wasn't praying for that, but don't mess with me, though. I wasn't praying for that. That is the kind of God we serve. He values you. You're his son, you're his daughter, you're his child. Don't mess with mine. Jesus paid a big price for them, and I'm not tolerating that. You know what? If Big Mama get mad, she's going to deal with something, right? That's big God. Praise is powerful. Now, this is just a sampling to encourage you to go deep in your own personal study. Just go through your search and say praise and thanksgiving. And you pop up all these scriptures, read them and study them. You realize praise is throughout the Bible. Throughout the Bible. And we can't do it all on Sunday morning. We've got to do it on part of our life. Amen? I'm almost finished. For the people of Ammon and Moab, verse 24. So when Judah came to a place, oh God, overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward and the multitude, and there were their dead bodies full on the earth. No one had escaped, but God's folk were free. Confused folk who are trying to come against you. More powerful, more money, more influence, more just higher positions. Are you following me? See, you start praising God, you have to fight these battles. Some of them you have to fight. Put on the whole armor of God and speak the word, right? But a lot of battles, you shouldn't be fighting. Shouldn't be fighting. Jump down to verse 27. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in front of them to go back to the Jerusalem and with joy. Mm-hmm. They're excited now. Yeah, everybody destroyed. Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with string instruments and harps and trumpets to this house of the Lord, and the fear of God was upon the kingdoms of those countries. that they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. In this country, unfortunately, folk don't like Christians, too many of them, and they talk evil about us. Why? We haven't let God fight our battles. We haven't let God fight our battles. This is the example. When God fights a battle, everybody around the season, leave those folk alone. In fact, be nice to them. Bless them. Because their God fights for them. Just saying. Not hating on nobody, but don't mess with God's people. That's God's mindset. It's not just the Jewish people, it's us, and we are under the blood. How much more if we keep praising him? Amen? And the fear of God was on them, all the kingdoms of the countries. It's going to jump down to verse 30. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave them rest all around. I love rest. One final passage. Much of what we need in life will come in a place of praise. Amen. Much of what we need. Because a lot of stuff we need, we don't know we need it yet. Let praise continually be on our lips. Psalms 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. Bow your head, please. Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you, Lord God, for you revealing this reminder to all of us to keep praise in our mouth. Not complaining. Not making excuses and blaming. Not getting caught up in the world issues of concern and worry, but pray and praise you for being a God that can intervene in any party, in any Democrat or Republican or independent. You're God. You got a history of talking to leaders and working things out like you did with Joseph, with the king of Egypt, like you did with Esther in Jerusalem when they're trying to take advantage of the Jewish people. You got a history, Lord God. You same God yesterday, today, and forever. And also Nehemiah, who saw the evening news of his city where he was born in, was being taken advantage of, and the walls are burned down, and they're just not in a bad situation. And you gave him a vision. He wasn't a carpenter. He had no construction skills, but he organized and got and requested resources from his king who didn't know his God. Because we praise you, you want to do more and do things far beyond that we can ask or think. It's never just about us. It's what you want to do in and through us. God has more in store for every person in this sanctuary. More, not just things, but to impact people. Your light shines brighter. For some of you, maybe your light is not bright at all, or does not shine, or shine just a little bit because of where you are with God. God's not here to condemn you, but to embrace you. This sermon was really about giving insight into the wonderful works of God and how he cares for his people who would just acknowledge him as being God. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, right now, today, is your opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He loves you. If you can hear me even online, you were brought to watch and prompted to watch online and come today for such a time as this. If you acknowledge that this is a time of decision, if you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or been filled with the Holy Spirit, or recommit your life to Christ, maybe you are a Christian, but you realize, I need to get more closer to God, and I want to get more dedicated to God, this prayer is for you as well. So those who already know Christ, not put you on the spot, those that are physically here, let's say out loud by yourself. We can all do it together. But if you will say it, repeat after me, this prayer of receiving Christ or recommitting your life to Christ, and say it and mean it, your life will be transformed. And now you're on a good path to walk with God. If you would like to do that in your heart and with the rest of us, repeat after me. Dear God, I come to you just as I am. I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth that Jesus Christ is now my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for filling me with your Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God a hand. Thank you, Lord. Well, if you said that in a minute, you're on your way, my friend. And so we have a pair of people that you can talk to afterwards. We'd like to have hands laid upon you or something you'd like to have someone pray for. But thank you for the opportunity to minister. Have a wonderful day and keep praising Him.